Welcome to Wonderful World Podcast. Thanks for joining me today and being a part of this podcast and everything that we're doing at A Wonderful World. And I'm looking forward to the days ahead and looking forward to exactly creating a wonderful world. I read something humorous this week, and I'm sure some of you have seen it on social media, that said, I always wonder what it was like to live during the Civil War, the Dust Bowl, the Civil Rights Movement, the Spanish Flu, and it listed others, and it said, I just didn't think we would do it all in 1 year. And that's exactly the way it feels right now. Here in Southeast Georgia, my wife and I go out on Friday nights, and last night was very gloomy outside, but not because of clouds, but because of the dust in the air, and it is even a little more today. I did see sunshine just a moment ago, so that was a good thing. So I'm glad getting a little sunshine in the air. But we are in different days, aren't we? However, we're going to talk about today the way we think about things in a wonderful world. So I want you to stay plugged in here. If you're part of one of our Patreon subscribers, thank you. And if you're not, please go to patreon.com/life180. And I would love for you to be a part of what we're doing here and with the podcast and also with our leadership training. And we are going to be picking up with those subscribers in July and going full force on that. And so we want you to jump in. You can support us, I think, as little as $10 a month and be a part of that all the way up to $50. We have three different levels. So we'd love for you to be a part of that and to get some personal interaction, and that will be starting in July. And so I'm looking forward to engaging those people with with what we're doing with those areas. So definitely plug in. So today, the song Wonderful World, I often think, I don't know what you think, I want you to picture it in your mind as you're listening to that song, and I just have an idea of a guy sitting on a park bench. And as he's sitting on that park bench, he is watching everyone around him, and he is contemplating how wonderful a world he lives in. And that's just the mind that I get. And when I think about that, I've sat on the park bench before. I've sat in the mall, and I've watched people come by. And I realize that sometimes it's our outlook. What is our outlook on life? And our outlook is going to determine a lot of things, but let's be honest. We can very easily have a negative outlook. And with everything going on around us, this is easy. I think it's so amazing that we started this podcast in the middle of a pandemic. I say that in the middle of a pandemic. I don't know if we're in the middle of the beginning or the end. I have no idea where we are in this pandemic. But I don't know where we are, but I know we're in a world of crisis. And in a world of crisis, it's easy to have the negative outlook. And people have made whole careers based on the negative outlook. But what if we turned our mind and sat down on the park bench of life? So I want to invite you to the park bench of life today. And your park bench may be in a different location than mine. But what you see, how do you see it? What perspective do you look at it from? Do we see it from a positive outlook of wonderful world? Now, I will tell you, theologically, I see a positive outlook. Why? Because there's hope and there's redemption in Jesus. So I can see that. Even the most negative things around me, when I look at it through the view of the hope of resurrection and the redemption that is coming, I can see a positive outlook. Do I see that all the time? No, I have to admit I don't. As a matter of fact, the times that I have been more negative, and so everything I'm going to share with you today is really more convicting to me probably than it is to you. And so, but it has affects our health, that affects so many areas of our life. So I want to share a very practical article today and then something a little theological and how we look at life. And so I want you to ask yourself before we get into this, if I were to rate how I think, do I think in a positive or negative sense most of the time? And be honest, you can fool yourself saying, oh, I'm negative or I'm positive, and not really be that. Which do you think you would shape yourself? So the first article comes from the CNN wire, and I don't have the date on this, and I apologize. Let's see. I think this came across this particular wire in June Well, it was recently, but I don't have the exact date. But the article titled this, Be Positive, Negative Thinking Linked to Dementia in Later Life. Starts off, are you a pessimist by nature, a glass half empty sort of person? That's not good for your brain. A new study found that repetitive negative thinking in later life was linked to cognitive decline and greater deposits of two harmful proteins responsible for Alzheimer's disease. Now, it says negative thinking later in life, and you'll see, I'll share with you in just a minute, the study they did was for people 55 and over. However, in our earlier stages of life, we are setting patterns. So if you're over 55, this is definitely applicable to you, but if you're under 55, wherever you may be, you're setting patterns for how you think. Now, can you change those patterns? Yes, we'll talk about that at the end of the article. But I don't want you to say, oh, well, that's people over 55 and I'm not there yet. You know, no. This is really trying to get across the point that we have to start thinking how we shape our thinking. The article goes on to say, we propose that repetitive negative thinking may be a new risk factor for dementia, said lead author Dr. Natalie Marchant, a psychiatrist and senior research fellow in the Department of Mental Health at University College London. Now, I say Marchant, it may be Marchant, I don't know. She's in London. Having lived in England for a little while, they pronounce things a little differently than we do sometimes. Their A's, where we say ah, they say ah, where we say ah, they say ah. I'll never forget going asking for taco shells, and they call them taco shells, tacos. So I don't know exactly how to pronounce it, but you get the idea. Negative thinking behaviors such as rumination about the past and worry about the future. So we're covering both ends of this. We're measured in the 350 people over the age of 55 over a two-year period. So this wasn't just like, hey, let's do a quick scan. This was a two-year study. About a third of the participants also underwent a PET scan to measure deposits of tau and beta amyloid, two proteins which cause Alzheimer's disease, most common type of dementia. Article says that the scan showed that people who spent more time thinking negatively had more tau and beta amyloid buildup, worse memory, and greater cognitive decline over a four-year period compared to people who were not pessimists. So that negative outlook is shaping, and these proteins that are building up for people that tend to have a more pessimistic outlook. It also tested for levels of anxiety and depression, and it found a greater cognitive decline in depressed and anxious people. So it's testing all of these things, the things that we are living with on a daily basis. And I know in a couple weeks I'm going to be speaking in our church on, you know, what we worry about. And I think I'm going to use this because it's very powerful. Deposits of tau and amyloid did not increase in the already depressed and anxious people. Leading researchers suspect repeated negative thinking may be the main reason why depression and anxiety contribute to Alzheimer's disease. Marchant said that chronic negative thinking patterns over a long period of time could increase the risk of dementia. So that was they said there's more study to be done and they're going to continue to research it, but you can see how that negative thinking, and we all understand when I start to think negatively and I start to get down on things and I start to be pessimistic, I naturally go into more depression and more anxiety. And with the depression, anxiety, all that's piling up and it's not good for the brain. Dr. Richard Isaacson, founder of the Alzheimer's Prevention Clinic at New York Presbyterian, he said the first study showing a biological relationship between repetitive negative thinking and Alzheimer's pathology. Many people are at risk or unaware about the specific negative impact of worry and rumination directly on the brain. I don't have an article by him, but you can look up a guy named Dr. Daniel Amen. And I actually saw him in person and had him speak in person at a conference I was at last year. And he so much talks about this, how we try to take care of all the other things in our body but our brain, and how our brain is really the controlling force of that. And there are actually things that we can do physiologically to help do that. And the article goes on to talk about that. Dr. Isaacson said, this study is important and will change the way I care for my patients at risk. So let me go into something else here for just a second, and we're kind of into this. My family was watching some this week. So even our prison systems do not do anything about physical and mental rehabilitation. We put people in there, and they're actually physically and mentally declining. And then once their time is up, we put them out. So we have actually caused they've mentally declined, and we've done nothing to help their mental state. And therefore, when they go out into society after they've declined, they're in a worse situation than they were before. And we're not thinking about those things. We're not paying attention to that part of us. So this is a very practical thing that we need to be paying attention to, the brain. And this God-given brain, just like all the other parts of us is God-given, is being abandoned. Fiona Carragher, she's the Chief Policy and Research Officer at the Alzheimer's Society in London. She said, it's important to point out that this isn't saying a short-term period of negative thinking is going to cause Alzheimer's disease. So some of you are like, oh no, I just worried about something yesterday. Calm down, okay? It says, we need further investigation to understand this better. Most of the people in the study were already identified as being higher risk because of their age, obviously, of Alzheimer's disease. So we would need to see if these results are echoed within the general population. And if repeated, negative thinking increases the risk of Alzheimer's disease itself. So, you know, if you're just, something's going on in your life right now, and there's a lot of things to worry about right now. This is a long-term issue. And so that's what we're trying to do with the long-term aspect of our thinking. But in the short term, we can deal with the long term. They suggest mental training practices such as meditation might help promoting positive thinking, reducing negative thoughts, and those kind of things. Boy, there's lots of doctors involved here. And this one, I have no idea. We're going to call her Kim, her, it doesn't say, Dr. Gale, because the last name, I don't even know where to start. I believe they're from France, though, looking at in the University of Normandy. Said our thoughts can have a biological impact on our physical health, which might be positive or negative. We've already kind of talked about that. It says the previous research supports their hypothesis. People who look at life from a positive perspective have a much better shot at avoiding death from any type of cardiovascular risk. Wow, wait a minute. So we're not just talking about the brain. This, because the brain is controlling everything else, there's also a cardiovascular going on. So they have a better shot at avoiding death from any type of cardiovascular risk than pessimistic people, according to a 2019 study. And there's a link to the study here. In fact, the more positive the person, the greater the protection from heart attack, stroke, and any cause of death. Your brain, how you think, is affecting your heart. There's tons of scripture here. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. My eye affects my heart. How you think, how you look at life is happening. It's not just your heart that's protected by a positive outlook. The article says prior research has found a direct link between optimism and other positive health attributes, such as healthier diet and exercise behaviors, a stronger immune system, and better lung function, among others. So they're saying if there is a more positive outlook and you tend to see things in that more positive outlook, you're going to eat better, you're going to exercise more, your immune system is going to be stronger, you're going to have better lung function. See how all this is tied together? Your brain, your heart, your immune system, your outlook, all that works together. Optimists tend to have better health habits. Because the negative person says, who cares? And we all know this on the small scale, on the what's the word I'm looking for? The more temporary, the more short-term thought. Because remember, we talked just a second ago, that short-term period. If something is bothering you or you're a little depressed, many of us, I'm going to go eat something, right? And I'm going to eat something that's not good for me. So we know if you're long-term thinking that way, then you're going to develop more long-term bad habits. Optimists also tend to have better coping skills and better problem solving. They're better at what they call, this article, proactive coping, or anticipating problems and then proactively taking steps to fix them. So we need to train ourselves to be an optimist. There is what is called a life orientation test, and it includes statements like this. I'll give you two of them. Statement number one, I'm a believer in the idea that every cloud has a silver lining. And then another statement in the test is, if something can go wrong for me, it will. So it will ask you, which one do you identify with more? Do you identify with, I'm a believer in the idea that every cloud has a silver lining, or do you identify with, if something can go wrong for me, it will? So what you do in this test, you rate the statements on a scale from highly agree to highly disagree, and the results are added up to determine your level of optimism or pessimism. It's shown that it's possible to train the brain sort of like training a muscle. They give some ideas of 30 minutes a day of meditation, you know, helping you and things like that. There's one called the best possible self method, where you imagine or journal about yourself in a future in which you've achieved all your life goals, all your problems have been resolved. This, once again, you're just thinking forward. Another technique is to practice gratefulness. Oh, we'll get into that in just a second, because that's exactly what Scripture teaches. Take a few minutes each day to write down what makes you thankful. That can improve your outlook on life, because now you're not focusing on what you don't have or what's bad or on what's good. And that's where we see it from Scripture. So this article is really powerful, because it's showing us that we have many times either someone else has shaped the way we think, or we've trained our brain to think negatively, and we can actually flip that upside down. So that's the practical real world example. So let's deal with the theological example, the scriptural example, for just a second. So years ago, a guy named Norman Vincent Peale wrote a book called The Power of Positive Thinking. That became hugely popular in a lot of in secular and religious groups. I have probably the first time I heard of it, it was in a very negative light, and then I've heard it in a very positive light. I think it's probably somewhere in the middle, as long as we bring it back around to Scripture. So this is an article by Crystal McDowell from whatchristianswanttoknow.com. That's an interesting name for a website. And the article's title is, "There Really Power in Positive Thinking?" And she says, she starts off, there is power in positive thinking, but not as the world believes in. Natural, earthly, and carnal ways of getting our way. The power in positive thinking for the believer is rooted in what we believe about God and His Word. Okay. So the power of positive thinking. We've already seen that there is power in it. But it's what we do with that resource and how we cope with that. I like the verse she shares. I think this, you'll see as I go through it, it's kind of too general, and I'll comment on that in a minute. She says, how do believers attain the power of God for positive thinking? Philippians 4:8 gives us a clear direction how we can think positively. Great verse, and I was alluding to this a moment ago. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about the good things instead of dwelling on the negative things. Do you see how this practical and theological come together? I don't know why we want to act like there's one or the other when God created us to be both. He created us very much to be beings that are in His image and that think like Him, but that doesn't mean that there aren't real world examples. I don't just think that way when I'm in the church. I think that way every day in life and on my job and in my home. So I incorporate what I know about God into every other part of my life. So she gives a list, and she basically walks through the different things. Thought number one, think on things that are true. John 3:33, that God is truthful. She said, God is always truthful and never lies. So listen to this. If He says, I'll never leave you, He means that. He means that. Now, we may come into moments like Job, where Job said, I feel like I'm going forward, I'm going backward, I'm going side to side. I don't know where you are, but I know you where I'm at. So there's times where there's times I'm really aware of God and His presence, and then there's times I feel completely disconnected to His presence. So He's saying, yeah, that's real. When He says, I'll make all things work together for good. Now, she kind of cut that verse off. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. She kind of abbreviated some of that. We have to understand that it's for His good and for His glory, but I am able to benefit from that. So we can take comfort in. He says, if in this world you're going to have troubles, right? But we're talking about truth. He said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. That's a truth. I've overcome the world. That's me. That's not the article, but I've overcome the world. So that's a truth that I live on and live by. So when I see the chaos in the world, when I see disease in the world, when I see a dust cloud in the world, I don't hit a panic button because I know God has conquered things, and I know this redemption plan is at work, and I know that He is King of all glory. So why am I going to sit and worry constantly about those things? And so I have to learn that. It has to become a learned behavior in my life. So thought number two was think on things that are noble. It's talked about the church at Berea in Acts chapter 17. It says they were more noble in their character. In other words, they searched the scriptures, it said. They wanted to make sure things were so explore God's word, get in God's word. Now, are questions going to come in God's word? Yes. But you have to take the totality of God's word together as you study it. She talked about things that are right. And she uses Psalm 33. This is a little bit of what we call eisegesis, where we're just pulling scriptures to kind of... I would kind of caution you a little bit on that. Just find a verse that fits the point. I don't really want to do that. But it does tell us that the word of the Lord is right. We live in a world where the line between right and wrong is continually blurred, she says. The word of God never backtracks on what is right. And that is a good point. Things may change in society, but truth doesn't change. It's still right. It's the old 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 2 = 4 2,000 years ago, and it's still 4 right now. There's certain things that are just right. There's certain things that are just truth, and it's the same way with certain morals. Scripture teaches us there's a certain morality. And as a matter of fact, Romans 1 says we all have that conscience in us that knows the difference between right and wrong. And so just think on things that are right. Think on things that are pure. Keep our hearts and mind pure. Don't dwell on the stuff that is impure. And by the way, we do that so many times through allowing different types of media into our life. It could be something harmful to our system. It could be a movie or it could be a social media post. And we allow things that are impure to enter our mind, and that's where a lot of questions cause, and a lot of people have fallen into great traps in their life because they allowed impure thoughts and impure things to come into their mind, and then it began to cause stress on their brain and on their life. And so just stay away from those things. Think on things that are lovely. This is a good practical one. Pleasant memories. What are some good things that you think about? We're sitting together on the park bench of life. And as we're sitting together on the park bench of life, I start looking around and I start seeing the things that are lovely. Watching two kids play, right? Watching a family laugh. All the different things that there could be. You know, are you going to see some negative when you're sitting on the park bench? Yeah. But why spend all day dwelling on the negative? See a stranger helping another person. Think on the things that are lovely, those pleasant memories that you have. The Bible talks about when a person dies that the memory of the just is blessed. And I've used that so many times in funeral settings and to encourage people, hey, just reflect on the memories that you have. Think on things that are admirable. She talks about Saul and Jonathan were admired. Who do you admire? Who do you respect? Why do you respect those people? What are the things that you do admire them? And when we dwell on those admirable things, that inspires me to want to live up to those same characteristics. I see the things that are admirable about different people, and I'm like, I want to be like that. I want to have that characteristic in my life. Think on things that are excellent. To focus on the excellence of life and grace, it can captivate our minds, release us from negative thinking. What are the really excellent things that are going on, and how can it activate that in my life? Once again, she kind of used some general, but think on things that are praiseworthy. Hey, start giving praise to other people. Start looking for opportunities to say, hey, good job, way to go. You know what? Go through the drive-thru. The person gives you money. I have a friend. I've made a friend at a local local McDonald's. And she and I have gotten to know each other. And just because I would come in, she was positive, I'd be positive back. And we got where we were just exchanging. One day she's like, you know, what do you do for a living? I told her, and we now we've become friends, and we talk, and, you know, I see her. I don't go in there all the time. But when I do go in there and see her, there's a real positive. And you know, talk about, you're doing a great job. And, you know, and that just lifts people. So start saying positive things to people. Start praising things and giving people. Obviously, first and foremost, we give praise to the Lord Jesus Christ, but he put us on this earth with people that we can give commendation to. And you start lifting people up, and I promise you, you'll be lifted up. Here you are sitting on the park bench of life, and you start praising people as they walk by, and watch how it changes them. And then watch how it changes you. The response that you get from them will absolutely make an impact in your life. And so those are really just easy things for us to do, and for ways for us to praise people. So we are definitely being led to positive thinking in our Christian walk. And it's what we think about, what we decide to dwell on. You do have to train the mind. It's funny, both articles that I read to you focused on training the mind. We have to train our mind. And as a matter of fact, hey, parents, this is good. Train up a child in the way it should go, Scripture, right? We think that means just train their behaviors. What if we train them to think? Pastors, leaders, teachers, what if we stop just training people on how to behave and train them how to think? And how to think positively. How to have a positive outlook, because we do not live... Jesus Christ didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. And so, but if we keep acting like everything is condemnation, then people are going to start living with a condemned mindset. And instead, let's change to the redemption mindset and start saying, no, let me show you the good. I'm on the park bench of life right here. God planted me on this park bench so I could see all this beauty and everything around me. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Why? Because Christ is in it. And because you're in it and I'm in it. And we have this beautiful life to live together. It's going to take effort. And some of us, it's going to take a redeeming of our mind. A buying back. That's what Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about. The renewing the mind. And it talks about a transformation. We need a mental transformation. And we talk all the time in churches about heart transformation. But one thing we definitely need is a mental transformation. The Bible talks about renewing that mind over and over and over again. That way the good things can spring up from our life. And the good word can spring up from our life. One of the ways that we're going to love people and love everybody is how we see them, our perspective on them. And so I challenge you today to go to your park bench, the park bench of your life, and go sit on that park bench and say, you know what, today I'm going to see things differently. And I'm going to see a transformation. I want to be on that park bench. And hey, if you want to join me sometime, come sit on the park bench with me. And let's just watch. And let's enjoy. Let's enjoy the good things that we have. And let's be thankful. He tells us if we were to be thankful, it would bring a song of praise into our life. So today, join me on the park bench of life. Let's see things as God sees them. Let's see things in a positive manner. And let's just watch the transformation take place. Hey, God bless. Thanks for joining me for A Wonderful World today. Hope you have an awesome day. Enjoy the park bench.